scripture lesson this morning is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. Genesis, chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. I will be reading from the Common English Bible. God said, "Let the earth produce every kind of living thing, livestock, crawling things, and wildlife." And that's what happened. God made every kind of wildlife, every kind of livestock, and every kind of creature that crawls in the ground. God saw how good it was. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth." God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and everything crawling on the ground." This is God's word for us.
In our sermon text today, when Moses met God at the burning bush on Mount Horeb, Moses asked God for God's name. Let's hear the name that God proclaimed. And I'll start one verse earlier than it's going to be on the screen or written in our bulletin, just to set the context. So I'll be reading from Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. And the words will be on the screen, or you can follow along on the in the Old Testament, page 48 of the Pew Bibles. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "Well, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'Well, what's his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" This is the word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God. May we be in an attitude of prayer. Our gracious God, we've come to worship you. And we've heard your holy scriptures. May our hearts and minds now be open to receive the message that you have for us. Amen. Well, several years ago, Renee, my wife, and I, we visited the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., which is commonly referred to as the Wall. Now, if you've not seen the Vietnam Memorial, it's in the shape of a very wide open V, with each leg of the V being 250 feet long. The memorial is composed of 72 polished black granite panels. They're 10 feet high in the very center, and they taper to only 8 inches at the ends. And on the face of the panels are chiseled the names of servicemen and women who lost their lives serving in Vietnam. The names are listed in chronological order, starting with the very first death in 1959 and ending in 1975. There are 58,318 names on the wall, including 8 women. A replica half-scale traveling version called the Moving Wall Memorial travels around our country, and it was in Sanford just last July 2016. And it is a most moving experience to visit the wall. Well, at the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., we saw people walking slowly along the panels, reading names. There was a woman with 2 children who went up to the wall, and she put her finger on a name. There was a little girl who went up to the wall, and she kissed a name. There was a man in an old military jacket who just stood silently, looking at a name and remembering. And a young woman, she held a piece of paper up against the wall and used a pencil to rub and etch that name onto the paper. Well, maneuvering around all the letters and the flowers and the teddy bears that mourners had stacked against those granite blocks, I read some of those names, but I did not know a single one. As one reads some of these names, one realizes this is not just a list of names. These are the names of real people who died. People who died in service to our country and for our continued freedom. You see, a name gives us unbelievable imagery and a connection to one another and to our history and to our commission and to our calling. With a name, one makes the connection to a relationship. I'm sure right now, at this very moment, many of you are remembering the name of a person who has passed before us, a relative, close friend, maybe even a person whose name is chiseled on the wall of that Vietnam memorial. In the context of our scripture lesson, Moses met God for the very first time, observing the burning bush on Mount Horeb. And God told Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And then proceeded to tell Moses to go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt, and I, your God, will be with you. Upon hearing these instructions, Moses says to God, "Well, when I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your father has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'Well, what is his name?' then what should I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." You see, to go before the Israelite slaves in Egypt, Moses, he wanted some help. Moses wanted some backup. Moses wanted a name to make the connection and to provide an image or a model of who this God of the Israelite fathers is. We do the same as Moses. When we want to get something or need to, when we want something or we need to get something done, we drop a name. We say the name of an important person, like the person in charge who sends us to do this task or the project. Or if we want to make a big impression during a social event, we drop the name of an important person, someone who is respected in our conversation. "Well, I know so-and-so," or, "Well, I was talking with," and then drop the name of that important person. "Well, I was talking with so-and-so just the other day," and, well, you get the idea. We are all guilty of this tactic at one time or another. So Moses asked God for a name to back him up, and God gives Moses a name, and quite a name it is, I Am. Many biblical scholars have tried to interpret this name, I Am. Some interpretations are simply, "I am who I am," or "I will be who I will be," or "I will cause to be what I will cause to be," or other. And this option is probably the closest to the original Hebrew, "I will be who I am," "I am who I will be." You see, verse 14 is one of the most puzzled over verses in the whole Hebrew Bible, because one cannot translate it exactly, which most probably is a good thing for us, because a name like I Am will not let us put God into a box. A name like that makes you stop and wonder and think and remember of one's personal experiences with God. The name I Am says, "I will be God for you," not just present, not just standing around watching, but for you, with and for you at all times and in all places. The name I Am says you can count on me to be God. And that means faithfully forever. It also says you cannot contain me with a name. And probably most important, by God giving a name to Moses, it meant the same as when we offer our name to someone today. It means, I want to have a relationship with you. Because yes, indeed, God wants a personal relationship with each one of us. Now, it's difficult to name God, yet we try. We feel we must name God to connect us and to try and describe the model of our relationship with God. Jesus, he referred to God as Father, meaning that God is loving and close to us. And many biblical scholars, they interpret that this is certainly what Jesus meant when he told the disciples about your Father, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray our Father, and when Jesus referred to God as my Father. He meant God is loving and not distant, but oh, so very close to us. Jesus was speaking mostly to relatively poor fishermen and peasants who lived in a social framework where father was responsible for providing food and shelter as well as loving care to his children. Thus, Jesus' listeners could readily understand when he spoke to them of God as Father watching over his children. Jesus used the name Abba, Father, for God. Biblical scholars also interpret that Abba can mean daddy. What a loving name. Huh? Now, Abba is a beautiful name, and it's one that's been very meaningful to many people for their entire lifetime. However, the words we use have unique meanings for each of us depending upon our own experiences and perspective. Let me give you an example of word meaning relative to one's own experience and cultural context. Renee and I, we visited Bar Harbor, Maine, a few years ago. And Bar Harbor is a quaint little coastal town, very popular because it is the gateway to Acadia National Park. And before we left on the trip, one of my parishioners, who was originally from Bar Harbor, she asked me to go to this certain little mom-and-pop restaurant and to eat a lobster for her. And so I did. I mean, who could say no to a parishioner's request to go eat a lobster for her? Well, as I was enjoying my most delicious 1.5-pound lobster for lunch, I was listening to some of the locals share their stories at a table right behind me. Do you know what the Bar Harbor locals' name for lobster is? They called lobster cockroach of the sea. That's a true story, cockroach of the sea. Now, my personal experiences with cockroaches while working in Texas is far different than a succulent sweet lobster known as cockroach of the sea. And for those of you who have lived or worked in Texas along the Gulf Coast, you certainly know what I'm talking about. You see, names, they reflect our own experiences. The same name may be beautiful for one person, like Abba, Father, and absolutely terrible, even terrifying for others. You see, for those whose experience of their earthly father has been one of neglect or abuse or physical violence or molestation or totally missing in their life, well, then the name Father God may actually hinder rather than help the person to know the love of God. And if Father is the only name for God that we use, well then how many other aspects and surprises of God might we be missing? How do we speak of God or to God who cannot be contained in words? We could start with I Am, God's own self-revealing name. And then by remembering that God expresses God's self through a variety of images without being identical to those images. Is God a rock? Hymn number 361, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee? Sure, in some ways. Is God a fortress? Hymn number 110, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Yes, indeed, in some ways. Is God light? Hymn number 103, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Again, yes, in some ways. Is God shepherd, homemaker, and father? Jesus said each of these was something like God. Each name says in its own way, God loves you in your lostness. God is personality, but God is not a human person. God is masculine and feminine, but God is neither male nor female. God is more loving than a father or mother, and closer than a sister, brother, or a dear friend. God exceeds all humans in love and mercy and kindness and in faithfulness. A long time ago in high school was the first time that I ever heard of God named Mother. And it sounded strange indeed at the time. But a few years later in college, when I was going through a pretty rough time, the image of God as Mother helped me to know a gentleness and a tenderness and a forgiveness of God that I had never experienced before. One of my assignments in my Hebrew Bible class during seminary was to review all the Psalms and to record the various names used for God found therein. And I had a real good list of 75 different names. But one of my classmates, they had interpreted 135 different names for God in the book of Psalms. To share a few with you, Counselor, Lord, King, Ruler, Deliverer, Shield, Father, Conqueror, Protector, and Warrior. And those 10 names are just in the first three Psalms alone. There are 147 Psalms to go. I just like the names of the men and women on the Vietnam Memorial. These names in the Psalms and elsewhere in the Bible, they're not just a list. Each of the different names for God provides an imagery, a connection, and a different representation of our personal relationship with God. So what's your name for God? How does that name or names provide you or comfort you with the imagery and the description or the representation of your relationship with God? There are many names for our loving God, certainly more than 135, and I encourage you to use them and to pray them. And may our church at prayer know that the truth behind all of these names is the one true God, I Am, whom we proclaim. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, amen. Our gracious God, there are so many names and images of you and our relationship we cannot begin to count. You are our counselor that guides us through life. You are our Lord who we obey and follow. You are our King, our ruler. You are our deliverer from evil. And you are our shield that protects us from evil. You are Father. You are Mother. You conquer the sinful, Satan's children. And you are our protector to keep Satan away from us. Gracious God, in so many ways, you are in every day and every aspect of our life, and we thank you. And we ask for your continued guidance as we go forward to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us now prepare.